Hello, this is Lex, and welcome to the Next Step Remote podcast, where I have the pleasure to interview some of the best remote work experts from all over the world. In each episode, we cover a topic, success story, or challenge to help you make remote work work. Enjoy. Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to today's episode, where I will continue exploring the topic of mental health in remote work. I've come across the expression that remote work is an introvert's dream and an extrovert's nightmare many times. And having recently spoken to Lorraine McKinnon, where we briefly touched upon the topic of introverts, I wanted to continue pulling on that thread. And who better to speak to than an introvert coach and change facilitator? Aoife Lennox is the founder of Insight Strategies, where she helps organizations design inclusive work practices suitable for all temperaments. And as an introvert herself, Aoife recognizes the productivity and engagement gap that arises from not harnessing the full potential of our personalities. Aoife, thank you very much for joining me today. My first usual question is, where are you in the world?
Good morning. It's nice to join you. I am here in Cork in Ireland this morning on a little bit of a grey, windy day. I wouldn't know it's July, but we'll make the most of it.
I'm in central Birmingham, central UK in Birmingham. And you know what? We've got exactly the same. I have to say that I would never say you're an introvert. We've had some interactions and I would never say that. So I think that's actually might be a very interesting point to start is, what are some lesser known traits of introverts, I guess? Well, how do we differentiate that? Because I would never say you're one.
Yeah, and I think it's such an important place to start because we build everything that we do on this perception of what an introvert is or isn't. And really, we've been guided by kind of a historical perspective of introverts that they're shy, lack confidence, antisocial, right? And as you say, we've had some conversations and I would describe myself as a social introvert. So I suppose some of the lesser known qualities or that introverts can be very social, can build really good, solid relationships with people, but they prefer to do it in smaller groups rather than big group settings. Introverts are really creative. So when they're given lots of time to work and dive deep into their work, they come up with different perspectives that somebody else who kind of might move faster through it doesn't see it. They're really analytical, right? So when they can step back from their work and look at something again, they can analyze it from a different perspective. We're very introspective, I suppose. We like to go in ourselves, have that alone time, which is where the perception that we're kind of antisocial, you know, don't want to be around people. But actually, this is what allows us to kind of be creative and to be analytical. So I think there's some of the lesser known qualities. And I love to, you know, when I say the word introvert, I feel like it's such a loaded term. And people automatically get this visual in their mind of what an introvert is. But if I say, you know, you're somebody who's creative and focused and analytical and decisive, you know, it gives a total different picture in your mind. So I think that's a very good starting point to kind of think about what is an introvert, you know, and what's our sort of appreciation of being an introvert today.
Even when you were saying that we have this perception of introverts, my mind went to that when somebody mentions that I'm an introvert, that we kind of have to protect them, that they're like very, very, very gentle, very fragile, that we have to really look after them. And that is not the case, is it? Yeah. You mentioned creativity, absolutely. And that introverts, I guess, depends where you are on the introvert, extrovert spectrum. For me personally, I've done a couple of tests and one time, I still laugh about it till this day, I landed 50-50. Extrovert, introvert. And I think it was the first time I ever done it. And I thought to myself, you know what? That is so, so representative, so true. Because on one hand, yeah, I'm all out there interacting with people. On the other hand, I just want to go into the middle of nowhere and have my peace and quiet and just kind of enjoy that. So yeah, I can relate to that.
Yeah. And actually, Carl Jung, who came up with the terms introvert, extrovert, he said nobody would be on either end of the spectrum. If they were, they'd be in the lunatic asylum. So the vast majority of us are kind of somewhere in the middle, but you'll generally veer towards the introvert or the extrovert side, you know. And it's all a balance, right? It's about fulfilling that social need, but then also that time to kind of recharge alone as well. Yeah.
You're right. There is that tendency that we, I guess it just comes naturally for us that we put people and things in boxes. Yeah. Introvert, extrovert, whilst you're right, it is very much dependent on the environment, the people that we're in, and our mood, basically. So very good way of looking at it, that it's not just one or the other. Yeah. Didn't think of the fact that you would be in a lunatic asylum, but yeah, actually, you're probably right there. I was thinking about the term social introvert. I've never heard that either. Very, very useful term for the future.
Just to say that there's an actual acronym, Jonathan Cheek, if anybody's interested in looking it up, and it's called STAR. So S is for the social, T is for thinking, A is for anxious, and R is for reserved. So if people are interested in learning more about understanding what it is to be an introvert, that acronym, STAR, STAR. And I suppose that helps define maybe or break down the different, how introversion, because it's a very unique experience as well for people. So some people will be more reserved, some will be more anxious, some will be deep thinkers, and then some will be more social, right? So it's all, personality is complex.
I guess trying to move that to work environment and remote environment in particular, as I started the podcast, the episode with, that it is an introvert's dream and an extrovert's nightmare. That's on a very generic way of looking at it. Again, probably looking at the spectrum that we are one or the other. But I've got both friends who are both either extrovert or introverted, and I've noticed that some of them are enjoying it a lot more because they don't have the fear of missing out if you're an introvert, and an extrovert is struggling because they're just fed up of looking at the same four walls. Mm. What have you seen in the last few months?
Yeah, and I've seen the same thing. But even within people who are introverts or describe themselves as introverts, they're all having a different experience of it as well. So the important thing about working remotely in anything is it needs to be managed effectively. So if you need that balance of social interaction versus time alone, for example, then either you and your team and your managers, you need to figure out how do you get that balance right. And so, yes, introverts can love to have uninterrupted time alone. They're usually quite self-motivated, whereas extroverts need to feed off the energy of other people. Introverts are generally quite happy to work independently for extended periods of time. So that's why it does work well for them. Introverts can actually get very overstimulated in a physical office environment. They get burnt out. There's a term, highly sensitive people. And 70% of introverts are actually classed as what, highly sensitive people. So it just means we take in a lot from our environment. I was telling you, I had my 9-year-old son's birthday party yesterday. So for me, that was quite an overstimulating situation, right? It was a lot of noise and a lot of activity. And it's the same for people in a work environment. So when introverts get to work remotely, they get to actually balance that. So you get to interact with people through Zoom calls or whatever it is, but then you also get to turn off the camera and turn it off and just focus on your work. So it can work really well for introverts, but it does have to be managed effectively too, because they can get disengaged. They can get lost in the system, you know, whereas an extrovert will be quite comfortable to speak out if they need help or they want to connect with people. But an introvert can, there can be a tendency that they can get lost there.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because it makes it sound like, you know, it might be, it's a dream, it's all nice and rosy and there's no problems, but there are downsides to that, both for extroverts and introverts as well. You mentioned some of them, that they need to be monitored a little bit or managed a bit better. What do you think, so taking it from a leader, a manager's point of view, if a manager is aware that they've got a mixture of personalities in the team, some of them are introverted, what can they do? How do they kind of tackle that situation?
Yeah. So it all comes down to communication. I mean, one of the tools that I recommend is that everybody writes what I call a user manual, so that you sit down yourself, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, and you figure out, okay, what do I need, right? How much communication do I want? How much alone time do I need? Do I need my manager to be checking in with me daily on what's going on? Do I need that daily check-in, or is once a week enough? So between yourself and your manager, that you kind of come to an arrangement and an agreement. And I suppose setting those expectations too is very important. And look, over the past few months, we've been thrown into this working from home situation, but we now have an opportunity going forward, if remote working is going to continue, to sit down and have these conversations and find out, you know, does the manager, like maybe the manager will need a little bit more of a check-in than the employee, and that you come to some sort of balanced approach, because otherwise you have a situation where you have a manager who might feel they need to sort of micromanage in order to keep on top of the introvert who maybe isn't sharing as openly as the extrovert. You know, I had one client I was coaching said to me, others on my team, they CC the boss on everything and I just get on with my work, you know? And that's the typical kind of introvert extrovert difference. The extrovert is just literally sharing because that's what they do and that's what they need, but the introvert doesn't feel that need. And so from a manager's perspective, they may not know what's going on. So keeping those lines of communication open is really important, setting the expectations and figuring out what works on both sides for the manager and the employee. And so whether it's a weekly check-in, a daily check-in, or, you know, whatever you decide yourself, having that sort of, I suppose, communication charter, let's say, or rules of engagement in place, that would be a key suggestion I would make for managers.
So it's basically have an individual discussion with each of your people, be because it can equally work for an extrovert as well, can't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, and I've spoken to many extroverts who have found this past experience so difficult. And yeah, so having that conversation with them in terms of that, getting that balance right as well, that they might need a little bit more of that interaction than your introverted employees might need, yeah.
Mm. I like the idea of the you calling it the user manual. I do something similar when I do emotional intelligence one-to-one or coaching or workshops. And I like to call it the blueprint, that you kind of figure it out for yourself. That's where emotional intelligence starts. You figure out for yourself and you understand yourself better. And then only with that blueprint, you can go to other people to let them help them understand you better, how to communicate with you, how to interact with you. And I think that probably can be taken down to a link to introversion as being an introvert or an extrovert as well. It's all kind of very much interconnected, isn't it?
Yeah. And when you mentioned the word blueprint, actually, I think of almost like house plans, and it's almost like the foundation, right? And so this is just putting the foundation in place, that if we're going to have a relationship, this is the foundation that we build it on. And it's so much easier to get that right at the start rather than kind of dealing with conflict and situations afterwards. So get your firm foundation in place. How are we going to work best together? And this has been a time of transition, a time of disruption, but that also gives us an opportunity then to change things up now and maybe set that foundation, you know, for going forward, which is really important. Yeah.
What do you think organizations can do to help individuals who are introverted? And apart from the user manual, obviously that's kind of the agreement between within the structures of the organizations, but to help the individual themselves to explore that, to be aware of what's going on with them, how they understand. So I mentioned emotional intelligence, maybe support with that, but in that angle, so they kind of they are aware of what's going on and how to deal with the situations, what they need to do and what their kind of emotions are and where they might be kind of emotionally and mentally as well. What could organizations do that to support?
Yeah. So I suppose there's a move to bring introversion and an understanding of introversion in under diversity and inclusion. And introversion is really, it's a cognitive difference, right? So introverts process things and look at things differently to somebody who's more extroverted. And so there needs to be awareness and training maybe on this would be the first thing. So if you can bring a module in under your diversity and inclusion, that would be really great. And then I also think it's really great that if there are introverted leaders in an organization, that they share their story and share their experience too, because they're modeling really at the top. We do have a very extroverted culture at the moment. And there's some research that says that 96% of managers are either extroverted or act extroverted. So that's a really high percentage. And so for anybody trying to work their way up in an organization or just to feel like they belong, right? We talk about psychological safety and feeling like you belong in an organization. To feel like you belong, you want to feel like there's other people like you within the organization. And so if there are introverted leaders, that they step out and share their own experiences too. And I think, you know, Bill Gates is one that everybody has probably heard of. And he often shares his experiences of being an introvert entrepreneur and what he has done to, you know, to become successful. So I think sharing those experiences, creating the awareness around introversion, that it's not something that needs to be changed. It's something that needs to be understood and embraced, and the strengths of it recognized. It's also helpful. Teams might want to do maybe some strengths profiling, or you mentioned the different personality testing, because it's really interesting. You get a sense of where you are and you're like, oh yeah, that makes sense for me, you know, and it just helps you to work with other people as well. And it all comes down to communication. And as you say, understanding yourself and then learning how to communicate with others as well. But that culture piece of having these leaders at the top and being role models, and building this culture where everybody can feel like they can belong, and that their style and their way of doing things is fine too. You know, being authentic at work is really, really important.
Authenticity is that thing that's missing. I'm actually very surprised that you said that there are a lot of people who pretend to be extroverted. Why do you think that is? Especially if we look at organizations, we look at leaders slightly in the higher positions. Are they doing it to climb up a bit higher? Because that's the only way to achieve, to get promoted?
Yeah. In webinars that I've done over the past few months, I do a poll. And one of the questions I ask is, I said, do you believe that introversion is perceived as a negative trait? And was yes, no, sometimes. Over 70% said it was perceived as a negative trait. That has been consistent on all of the webinars that I've done. And when I, like, you know, you mentioned at the start, it was hard to understand that I was an introvert. And again, because we just have this perception. So what I'm finding, a lot of my work at the moment is actually about trying to educate people and create awareness around this. And so I don't think we associate success and leadership with introversion yet, with a quieter approach. And there are lots of books out there now on quiet leadership, right? It's a term. And those quiet leaders are actually really, really effective in a modern organization. Yet I think we still think that leadership is the aggressive, loud, you know, almost domineering in a way. So I love to hear from quiet leaders who have, you know, who can share their stories as well. So, yeah.
No, definitely. We're putting a message out there. To all the listeners, if you are an introverted leader, we'd love to talk to you. I'd love to have you on the podcast, but if you don't feel like it, I would love to talk to you separately as well. So just let us know, get in touch. Okay. When you were talking about extroversion being this way of that we get ahead, and that's what's really like being louder. I had this image in my head that introversion, being an introvert and a leader, is more that consistency. It's that showing up every day, regularly putting in the effort to do your stuff, to achieve. Whereas extroversion is more the kind of the external stuff. Just I don't want to say showboating. I don't want to put a negative spin on it, because that's not the negative, good or bad comparison I'm trying to draw. No, it's just that extroversion is that I'm here, I'm doing this. It's just that kind of leading with the energy that will inevitably have peaks and troughs. Sometimes you'll have more energy, sometimes you will have less. And I just had this image as you were saying that.
Yeah. And there's a new book out by Jennifer Conweiler about creating introvert friendly workplaces. And she opens the book with a term called loudership that one of the participants in her workshop used. And he was at the workshop and he was just getting frustrated. And he, you know, as an introvert, he said, I'm never going to be a leader in my organization because the culture is for one of loudership, right? So the louder you are, the more likely you are to get seen, visible, and to be promoted and work your way up. My understanding of a quiet leader is somebody who is very observant, who knows what's going on in the organization, who's got a very good, I suppose, measure, can take the temperature in terms of where his employees are at, he or she, getting an understanding of, you know, where the introverts are at, where the extroverts are, where everybody is at in terms of what they need, and supporting them to get their job done. Because really, your goal as a leader is to empower your employees to get their work done, right? That's why they've been hired. And so you want to bring out the best of your team. It doesn't mean that a quiet leader can't be vocal, can't be a public speaker, can't be, you know, Barack Obama is an introvert, right? And he did a great job. Yeah, absolutely. Google it. There's loads of stuff written about him being an introvert. Yeah. Yeah. And so introverts are well able. And actually, it's interesting. Hillary Clinton is also an introvert, but she didn't do as good a job winning over the public. And there's a few articles written about that, that because introverts sometimes can be very serious and intense, because that's the way they process, they don't come across as likable, let's say, as other leaders. And there's a few articles written that that was actually her downfall at the end, that she just, her serious nature, and because she tried in a way maybe to be something that she's not naturally, she didn't get the likability as much in the end. So, you know, you can be a quiet leader, you listen, you observe, you understand what's going on, but you can still be very, very strong, right? You can have a strong leadership role at the top. So, and it doesn't have to be loud, this loudership idea.
I love that term. I never heard of it before, but it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Because that's where we kind of get drawn to. That's where we associate with power. That's where we associate with leadership. That it's the people who basically raise their hand and say, let's go this way, and they'll lead that. And that's the perception that we've got. But we all sorts of, I guess, realize that that's not the case. And again, it's not a bad thing. I'm not trying to paint a negative picture. There's requirements and needs for different types of personalities, yes, different types of leadership, depending on the circumstances. Absolutely shocked about Obama being an introvert. His charisma, it's just unbelievable. So I would never guess that. With Hillary Clinton, didn't know that, but it does make some sense. Mm-hmm. But I guess she lacks the charisma of Obama, of the kind of even the body language, the kind of the smile. You know, one of the first things that you think of Barack Obama is his beaming smile.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever seen him without it when he's speaking, and that's kind of makes people connect to him. So that's the difference there.
What's interesting about him is he was very thoughtful though in everything that he said, you know, and that's one of the strengths of interest too, the preparation, and he put so much preparation. And I've read his wife's autobiography, and she gives a kind of nice background picture to him and the work ethic and the preparation that he put into everything, and then that facilitates him to be able to stand up and speak the way that he does, you know, and capture a crowd in the way that he does. So if you're a quiet leader and feeling like you can't put yourself forward, you absolutely can, but you just tap into your strengths of preparation and research, which is what you do naturally as an introvert. And then that allows you to feel confident, you know, to put yourself forward.
I'm so adding that book to my list. Barack Obama has been one of those people that has been on my list to research a lot more, especially from the public speaking element, because the way he can command when he talks, even when I've started this podcast, is one of those things. The pauses he takes, and we've got this feeling that we have to fill the silences. So when I'm recording this podcast, I'm very mindful of not having long pauses or using the ums and ahs and stuff like that, the elements of basically thinking on the spot. He doesn't do that, and he's an inspiration for me in that sense, and that I really want to learn a lot more about it. And it would be interesting to see what his wife thinks about it from her side. Yeah. Has Barack Obama had a biography or autobiography that you know of that is
read? Early on in his career, he took himself off for, I'd have to go back and read again, but I think a month to an island, I think to Bali, to write a book. So he left his wife. So you can see it's from her perspective in the book, of course, but he took himself off for a month. So he has written a number of books. Yeah. But again, you know, what an introvert, and he can just take himself off for a month to just absolutely get lost in his writing and write his books. Yeah.
Well, maybe we were talking just before we started recording, we were talking about university and students taking a gap year. Maybe it was his gap year.
There you go.
To, you know, going a year in Bali partying, saying that he's going to write a book. You never know.
Yeah. And this is another introvert strength, taking that time out to reflect. And so for introverts that are working remotely, to allow themselves that time. And it's really, you know, you can go off for a walk in the middle of the workday, and it's still work, because it allows you that time to process, right? And that's what introverts need. They process information differently to extroverts. And so giving yourself that time, either daily or maybe it's monthly, to take kind of a couple of days of a break, you know, depending on your work schedule, to recharge and to reflect and to process. And that allows you to tap into your creativity, your analytical skills, you know, like the research has found that people are a lot more creative when they give themselves that time time out, I suppose, from the day-to-day responding, reactive to everything that's going on.
Yes, we are caught in this constant input mode where we get bombarded by information, and sometimes that's just the nature of it, but we have to find this time to just to let our brain do its thing, think and mull over the information that we've inputted, to spit out creative and really good ideas. Because if you're constantly in, nothing's going to come out sooner or later. That's a sure way of not achieving what you want to achieve in terms of your goals, but also a very quick way to burn out. And I have to physically stop myself, especially remote working. The biggest fear was that people, when they work from home, they're not going to be productive. What we've seen the results of is completely the opposite. People can't switch off because we don't have the barriers, the natural kind of 9-to-5 sides, the borders that make people switch off, basically. And that is the case, isn't it?
It is. And introverts love structure. So putting those boundaries in place for yourself is very good. Maybe scheduling a walk with a neighbor at 5 o'clock, or, you know, whatever it is, that to call an end to your workday. Because, yeah, that's really, really important for well-being.
Yeah, in the last 2 weeks, most days I said I'm going to finish by 5 or 4 or 6 or whatever, every single time without fail, half an hour longer, an hour longer. It's just, and I'm not a procrastinator during the day, I swear, but it just sometimes you just go like, well, just that one more thing. But you're right, putting in that guardrail at the end of the day, I'm going for a walk, I'm going for a run, or now you in the UK and in Ireland, go out for a drink, socialize, do that element. You've touched upon it a bit earlier, but what are some of the real negative sides of being an introvert in a remote setting that you think are, I will loosely use the term, dangerous?
Yeah, absolutely. So introverts are actually more prone to anxiety and stress. And again, because it's the way that we process information, we have a lot of, like, they've done MRIs of the introvert brain and the extrovert brain, and they can see that introverts process information differently. It makes us more prone to overthinking, to being self-critical, and to be more judgmental on ourselves. And when you're in an office environment, you know, you might be getting stressed about something, but a colleague might pick up on it and see it and be able to provide that support. If you're getting stressed at home, you're on your own. And as an introvert, you might not be proactive to reach out to a colleague to say, listen, I'm really struggling with this. Or you don't want to bother them, or you think that they're busy, or they're, you know, on a different work schedule or whatever. So you definitely, as an introvert, have to do a daily check-in with yourself and say, okay, how am I feeling? Like, you'll feel it in your shoulders. You'll know yourself, or you know if you're getting absolutely overwhelmed and burned out. That's the time that the computer needs to be switched off and you need to go for that walk or go out and socialize or bounce it off with a friend. So again, from a manager's perspective, keeping a temperature check on your team is very important, and knowing where they're at and providing that support. So if somebody is getting overwhelmed with something, sometimes just sharing it with a colleague can just, you're like, all right, it's, or if there was a problem or something went wrong, you're like, okay, it's actually not as bad as I thought it was, you know? And sometimes as introverts, because we overthink, we can get stuck as well. So you can get this analysis paralysis kind of comes into effect, and you find you can't move forward because you don't know what to do, or you don't know where to start. So while we're very independent, very self-motivated, and that's our strength, we then sometimes do need to balance off maybe an extrovert or colleague to say, you know, what do you think about this? Because the extroverted person could be really good to help us just move forward a little bit. So I'd say the daily check-in, managing that stress, making sure you're not being overcritical of yourself. And it can affect your well-being, and it can affect your productivity as well. So that would be the big thing that I think people need to watch out for.
That's on the individual side.
Yep.
As a way of wrapping up, what advice would you give on the whole of topic of introversion to organizations in the remote setting, other than what you've already shared with us? Is there anything that you think companies should be really addressing, looking as a matter of priority, or maybe something that so often is forgotten or not thought of?
Yeah, I think it's people first and relationships first. And work second, because the work will come when you build the relationships with the individual people. And putting the emphasis on that at the beginning, and going back to, you know, the user manual, you know, how things work for you from both sides, from both the manager and the employee, and having those conversations. And in a remote team, you know, can be a little bit more difficult to kind of replace those water cooler moments, as they're called. But setting them up, so they have to be structured, and you maybe set a time to have a chat, but that's okay. And you can have a chat, and maybe sometimes you can just set up times to just have a check-in, not about work, you know, just how are things going for you? You know, you opened the podcast with that, and that, I think that's really good. And just to get a sense of where the other person is at. So building those relationships, the foundation, the blueprint that we talked about, I think that's the most important element at the beginning to get an understanding. And particularly, you know, if you're an introvert and the other person extrovert and vice versa, you're coming at things from a different perspective. So just having that awareness all the time that not everybody is going to see it the way you see it, and not everybody is having the same experience. So I think creating that awareness and building those relationships are the two key things at the beginning.
Lovely. I couldn't agree more. People first, work second. I think that's a amazing way of looking at it. Final question, where can people follow your work? Where can people get in touch with you? What's the best way? I'll include all the links that you'd like me to in the show notes, but what's your preferred ways?
Sure. Yeah. So if they want to look up my website, which actually is about to have a revamp, but the basic is there anyway. So it's insidestrategies.ie, and I'm on LinkedIn at Aoife Lennox, and I'm on Instagram at Aoife Lennox, and I have a Facebook page as well. So I'd be delighted for people to connect into me. I love hearing their own experiences of being an introvert at work, introvert in a remote team, an introverted leader. I would love for people to connect into me. That would be great. And I try to share a lot of resources and articles too on LinkedIn, so hopefully they're helpful for people too.
Aoife, I'm so grateful for your time. First of all, for sharing the knowledge that you've got with the listeners, but also I've learned so much about myself that it's actually very, very difficult to describe. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
One more thing before you take off. If you enjoyed listening to the show and found it of value, I'd really appreciate if you shared it with your network and considered leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you might be listening to it. Also, if you've got any questions, any suggestions of topics to cover, guests to invite, please drop me an email on nextsteppodcast@human.pm. If you want to find out a bit more about Next Step Group, please visit www.nextstep.group. This podcast is produced and hosted by Lech Guzowski from Human PM. Special thanks to the founders of the Next Step Group, Christina Barger, Jelaine Chan, Stefan Dorn, and Matteo Grassi.